I'm calling executive privilege. I got my name on a podcast.
Buccaneers fans, here he is, Ira Kaufman, fired up for the annual JoeBucksFan.com mock draft show with our draft guru, Sean Sullivan. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeCamper is here, and we've got plenty to talk about, Ira. First, of course, a man of your age, we need to ask, how are you?
I'm doing well. Cosmo's doing well, and we're 3 days away from one of the biggest days of the year, and Sean Sullivan's favorite day of the year, besides his kid's birthday and his anniversary. The NFL draft, he's put a lot of work into it, and I've been looking forward to this podcast for a long time.
Yeah, me too. We're going to get into the draft today. Sean will go through a full mock draft. We'll be interrupting. We'll be giving our opinions. So, Sage...
And we're here in the showroom. We're right here.
I was just going to say, we are at the famous Bill Curry Ford Studios, where the Best in Class podcast is broadcast from. Now, Sean does the Best in Class breakdowns. He does Best in Class year-round. And some great breakdowns this year. You got to get those position breakdowns. I think there's one left, guards and centers. Today, Sage, I spent time editing running backs and tight ends, and that's up there now at JoeBucksFan.com, Apple Podcasts, Podbean.
By the way, when Sean Sullivan travels around, and he does a lot of traveling, all of a sudden he meets some guy. He might know him, he might not. And as soon as he tells the guy who he is, the guy goes, "I love your podcast. I love your Best in Class." I mean, people from Michigan, Costa Rica, they're all going crazy over this guy.
Look, the podcast is good. The breakdowns are good. And Sean is fast. So he burns through it. You get a lot of information in a short amount of time. And isn't that what you want when you listen to a podcast? You want to get your laughs in. You want to get a lot
of... Well, I like to be quick, but not in every circumstance. Steve, you understand.
A man of your experience, Ira. Come on. So, yeah, definitely Best in Class. Check them out. Running backs and tight ends went up today. We're recording this late on Monday. So, Ira, you and Lee were at $1 today. What grabbed you?
What grabbed me and knocked me off my seat? Kalijah Kancey, of all people. Kalijah Kancey. Good player. I think could be a very good player if he stays healthy. And somebody asked him, what do you think you can do if you play 17 games? Quote, lead the league in sacks. Lead the league in sacks. Which I just followed up and said, now wait a minute, that's more than Reddick. Yeah, we're going to have a little competition. As good as Kancey is, Steve, that is a crazy statement. But I don't mind it because it shows you that he's got high expectations for himself.
It also shows you in his mind, I thought, when I heard that, I wrote it up immediately at JoeBucksFan.com.
That's what you do, Steve. That's
but my do. Thought was, you know, he watched the film. And he thought, man, I missed 6 sacks. And throw that to my total. I think he had 7.5.
Yeah,
I got to double check.
Yeah, yep.
And throw that on my total and then throw in the 5 games I missed and throw in Reddick opening some more things up. He's probably thinking I can get 15. So
defensive tackles don't lead the league in sacks very often. Not very often.
And when they do, they make a fortune of money. So
yeah. I mean, Sapp might have done it once or twice, maybe.
Anything else stand out? What about for you, Lee?
The honesty of Kalijah Kancey. A couple months ago, Next Gen Stats claimed Kancey was the only starting defensive player in the NFL to not have one missed sack, which blew my mind.
Missed tackle.
Yeah, missed
tackle.
I always got sacks in my brain. So I remember I threw that at Todd Bowles at the Combine, and he seemed suspect about that. So I'm going to have to go back and watch the tape on that one. So I asked Kancey, I said, you would know, do you have a missed tackle in regular season? This is the regular season, mind you, not playoffs. We all know about the, you know, how he sacked the towel of Jalen Daniels. And Kancey said, no, I can think of a missed tackle right now. And
he explained he only came up with one, I can tell you that. He only thought of one missed tackle.
But the fact that he came he could easily said, yeah, it's right. No, he says, he goes, I appreciate Next Gen saying that. But
he's a confident kid, but I don't think he's an arrogant kid. So I'm okay with him.
I got you, Ira. Anything else at $1 that grabbed you guys?
Well, I was thinking about Devin Culp. He was the first guy that came up at the podium. You know, before our listeners start laughing at me to mention Devin Culp's name, you know what? A year or two, he could be the tight end on the Bucs. He could be the starting tight end. I'll tell you why. Because he's got a dimension that Otten doesn't have. Otten averages 10 yards a catch. He's lucky if he gets a 14-yard catch. Now, I'm not knocking Otten. He's a pretty good player. But he's in a contract year, and if he doesn't step up, they might let him go. Culp's a downfield threat. I think Culp runs about a 4.5 or a 4.6. Kind of extraordinary for a tight end. 4.47, I think it might be. I mean, that's crazy. So, don't sleep on Culp. When I saw him last year, I thought he did some good things.
He did. I got to say, Ira, so we're here with Sean Sullivan, our draft guru's here. And I've noticed he's already picked lint off you.
Already.
And he's already been queuing you up with some data. This is fantastic.
And Sean wants Ira to do video, and he's got lint on him?
This is like Kramerica. He's like your intern.
I went from 4.6 to 4.47.
He ran a sub 4.5 40. You know, the interesting thing about him is that he didn't have a drop in the games that he played. So he starred in like the last two games of the season. He didn't have a drop in the NFL yet. So I'm not trying to jinx them.
Wait a minute. People are saying, what voice is this? You haven't even introduced the man yet.
Yeah, exactly. That is Sean Sullivan. And everything at everything Ira at JoeBucksFan.com is presented by Bill Curry Ford. Sean is the general manager, the big boss here at Bill Curry Ford, a mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. And Sean, you know what? I'm just going to turn it over to you. You got to tell everybody, what's the deal with this employee pricing, where with the prices have plummeted here at Bill Curry Ford, but not the quality and your incredible service and your team in all facets here. What's going on?
I thought Steve was making this stuff up about employee pricing. I said, that's not true.
No, it's a national program, and it was made to basically deter the tariffs, right? So tariffs are going to create – everybody goes, well, Sean, aren't Fords made in America? Yes, they are. They are assembled in America, but some of our parts come from around the world, and those would be – on the tariffs, so you're going to have a little bit more money. So what Ford Motor Company did is they met with the dealers and they said, okay, what can we do to keep consumer coming into the stores, buying cars? Let's keep this momentum going. We've had tremendous momentum for 3 years. And they said, employee pricing. Let's give them factory pricing just as if they were part of the union, because that's the way it is. So they're like, okay, great, because that's going to battle the tariffs. And then all of a sudden, the tariffs did not affect the car business. They basically said, we're going to put it on a 90-day hold, and then some of the parts we're going to exclude, and la, la, la.
But you kept the employee pricing.
At the end of the day, it's already been done. They've already announced it for 2 months. So basically, right now, in this time, through April and May, you can buy a car in employee pricing, factory pricing, union pricing, right? Get 3 months deferred payments, and you get the new interest rates. The interest rates were just cut again, so now you're getting the benefit of the best interest rates we've had pre-inflation, employee pricing, 90 days deferred. You're buying a car right now cheaper than you could prior to the tariffs. So again, it's like one of those things where the guy that didn't buy Apple when Apple was a stock, and they're like, oh, should have put in the $10. It could be worth $1 million today, and I should have done that. Well, right now, it exists. Right now, if you come into Bill Curry Ford, you will buy a car for the least amount of money that you could buy a car for in many, many, many years.
How much can a customer save on employee pricing for a typical car?
So the way employee pricing works is it basically takes the cost of the car minus the shipping and net difference from the dealer. So there's basically there's a markup from the dealers, and then there's a markup from the factory, okay?
And you're circumventing that.
Ford is circumventing the entire thing because they're basically saying there is no longer a markup between the distributor and the manufacturer. So they're basically giving you the manufacturing price of what it costs to make the F-150.
So it's a significant savings.
Yes, the dealer gets reimbursed from the factory. We don't have to make our money from the customer right now. We actually make our money from the factory, and we just want to give away as many cars as I can because that's how my money's coming in.
All right, Sage, BillCurryFord.com. That's the key. Curry is the family name, third generation family business, BillCurryFord.com. Start shopping there 24/7. It's there for you. Great website. And of course, Sean is always here for anybody. You can find his email on the website. You can call him up. And as we like to say, he's wearing a fancy jacket today. He keeps the Ira Kaufman podcast discount in his inside pocket there. So just reach out, and Sean will help you as well, guide you.
Whether you want to talk about a Mustang or Logan Hall, Sean Sullivan's the guy.
There you go. And Florida's Elite Restoration, we will talk about them later. So we are here for draft talk, Ira. Here for draft talk, Sean. And I'm going to give you an opportunity, Sean, to, in 2 minutes, what do you think is the Bucks' priority
Wait
in this draft?
Minute. I have the overview.
All right.
You bypassed my overview.
I didn't bypass. Go ahead, Sage.
I'm calling executive privilege. I got my name on the podcast, Sean.
It's your podcast. You're the man.
All right, here we go.
Go ahead.
This is my opportunity to get Sean Sullivan fully involved and perhaps take a little poke at me. Sean, I said this on a podcast 2 weeks ago, but I didn't say it to you. And so I'm saying it to you because I trust your response more than these two nudniks over here. Sean, I'll say it again. This is a mediocre first round. It is a mediocre first round. Where's Larry Fitzgerald? Where's Caleb Williams? Where are these guys? I don't see it. Where's Ed Reed? I don't see it. I'm sorry, Sean. I think it's an average to below average first round, but I think the depth is pretty darn good. And now I want you to tell me why I'm wrong.
You're not wrong. It's a depth draft. That's what it is. The top of the draft has some stars on it. The rest of the draft. So every year there's a breakdown of how many true first round draft pick grades there are. So draft picks are graded by several pundits around the country, right? So there's 32 picks in the first round. Some years there's 23 real first round draft pick grades. Sometimes there's 29. Last year was extremely high number. This year there's probably less than 10 true grade first round draft picks.
That's a big drop.
It is a big drop. But here's the thing. Depth wise, you basically have more second round draft picks than you have than 32, right?
Okay.
So because you're going into the second half of the first round, the second round and third round, you're basically getting all of the same players. So the value of a second round and a third round pick to this year, to Jason Light's strength, which is his overall drafting is his strength in every single round, he's going to get really amazing value at these rounds. Not a huge drop-off because the drop-off happens after the first 10 picks.
Sean, what you're saying, in essence, is from a buck perspective, if Light wants to drop down from 19 to 25, he might have trouble finding a suitor that wants to come up to 19 and give up a third-round pick in the process this particular draft.
I definitely think the compensation might be a little bit different this year. Who are at 19... It's the same type of player that you're going to be able to get at 44.
Okay.
So you're going to have to someone's going to have to reason where if a quarterback falls, the only chance we have is if Shador Sanders tumbles. That's a possibility. Or if Jackson Dart, if somebody wants Jackson Dart.
And Pittsburgh wants to move up or something.
For the fifth round option on a quarterback. The Bucs at 19 are placed really nicely right there if one of these quarterbacks falls. And we're going to go through what I think is going to happen.
Okay.
With the guys, but there's a good opportunity where if somebody calls Jason Light and says, hey, I want one of these quarterbacks, he might be tempted to trade down.
All right, you know what? I'm going to throw it to Lee, and then we'll go around real quick, but we'll give Sean an extra minute on this because he hasn't had a chance to weigh in. And it's important. It's on the minds of a lot of fans. Lee, as we sit here, we're all going to put our final stamp on what do you feel is the Bucks' primary need in this first round, and if it doesn't... If you feel compelled, you can say in the overall draft.
This is tough. Primary need, I know the Bucks are really high on Servacier Dennis. I got to see it first. I'm not high on him. I'm high on him when he plays. Well, is he going to play? I don't know that. So if you ask me what a primary need is, inside linebacker. Because, until you play, you really haven't played. And I know, the Bucks. Well, I won't get into it, but at any rate... they're high on Servacier Dennis. I'm glad they're high on him. I want to be high on him, but I can't just use pixie dust to be high on. I got to see it. He's got to play more than four plays a game. He's got to play four games in a season. I got to see it. So until then, I'm going to say the primary need is inside linebacker. Who do I want the Bucks to draft? As far as defense, I don't care. They can, Sean and I had a big, deep discussion about this before you guys showed up. No matter who the Bucks are going to, if they draft defense, no matter who they draft, I don't care where he plays, I don't care what his name is, he's going to be a part-time guy. They're not going to have a full-time guy, I don't think, unless they go safety. Defensive tackle, he's not going to be full-time. Defensive end, he's not going to be full-time. Cornerback, he's not going to be full-time, unless they get rid of Jamel Dean. And until that happens, he's still a member of the team. So no matter who they draft defensively, he's going to be a part-time guy. I'm cool with drafting a wide receiver because, ladies and gentlemen, Mike Evans is going to be, he may not be here next year. This is a contract year for him. Godwin, we don't know anything about. And I'm not trying to push these guys out the door, but I wouldn't lose a wink of sleep if they drafted a receiver. But if you put a gun to my head, one of two guys, Kenneth Grant or Walter Nolan, defensive tackle. You could be like the Eagles. You could be the bullies of the South and just beat the hell out of people inside, wear them down. By the time the fourth quarter comes around, they don't want to take the field. They're so beat up.
I don't think you can go along with the defensive line. I just don't think they have enough up there. And I'll let Sean amplify that. But I don't want to cut the cornerback position shrift here. Now, a better pass rush would help Jamel Dean and McCollum and Izzy, and I understand all that. But darn it, they need another young corner. Besides the fact that Dean doesn't stay healthy, he ain't 24 years old either. McCollum I'm fine with. I think McCollum's going to get a contract extension next year. I don't see them turning their back on McCollum. But depending on what corner's left, and I'll let Sean talk about it when he goes over the first round, I wouldn't mind adding a corner and having him compete with Dean if he's still on the roster for a starting job.
For me, it's simple. That conversation I had with Lee is we're looking at position groups. Who's going to get the most snaps as a first-round draft pick? I believe that we have a team that's going to contend for a Super Bowl this year. I want a first-round pick that's going to contribute in snaps. So if you look at outside linebacker, and let's just say we get an edge rusher. Right now, Las Vegas has us at a 59% money that we're drafting an edge rusher. That edge rusher that they're coming up with is Donovan Isiruku.
Isiruku.
There you go. Thank you. So basically,
I'm glad I don't have to pronounce it.
I know. It's ridiculous, right? I'm just calling Donovan from now on out of Boston.
There you go,
College.
Donovan.
So basically, here's a guy that had 16 and a half sacks last year. So you have basically on the outside, you signed Reddick. You have Yaya Diaby, who Ira talked about earlier. And then you just re-signed Anthony Nelson, and you just talked up Chris Braswell, our second-round draft pick out of Alabama.
Who's supposed to shock the world,
Who's going to shock the world. So where is this Donovan going to get snaps at outside linebacker? You only have two positions in a 3-4 defense for pass rush. He's not going to put his hand in the ground. He's not big enough unless they go with somebody like a Mikel Williams who can play that outside edge on the inside and for that rotation. But we'll talk about that later. The other part is if you go inside linebacker, you have Levante David, who, from what I understand, is going to play the full season this year as a starter. You have Savassier Dennis, who I don't know if there's anybody at One Buck who doesn't think this guy's ready for a gold jacket. Every time I listen, they're saying this guy is the greatest guy since sliced bread. So, okay, and then we went out and signed an 8-year veteran in Walker from the Miami Dolphins, who's a very solid, cerebral, very intelligent linebacker who also is friends with Levante David. So, if you say you draft Javad Campbell out of Alabama at linebacker, where is he taking snaps at inside linebacker? He's really not going to get a lot of snaps.
Plus, when's he going to get on the field?
He's not. Yeah. And that's who you're taking snaps from.
Well, shoulder surgery.
Well, forget the shoulder surgery. Well, let's not even talk. I don't even want to talk about the injury. I'm talking about the player himself, unless they're going to give him some snaps at outside linebacker and inside linebacker. If they played him like a hybrid role, he's still not going to put his hand in the ground and rush off the edge, and he's still going to have to drop into coverage. I don't see a position for someone to be drafted in that position. Now, if you're going corner, if Tyke Smith does move to strong safety, you're going to have room for a third corner, a slot corner. The Bucs haven't really drafted a first-round corner besides Hargraves, as you guys talked about in your last podcast. The last safety we drafted in the first round was Mark Barron. So if you think about that, we don't have a long history. And then if we go with a safety, which is what you said earlier, at strong safety opposite Winfield, are you really going to tie up two? You already have Winfield, the highest-paid safety in the NFL. You're really going to go with a first-round 19th pick overall, high-paid, strong safety? So we have, what, $75 million tied up in the safety position? I feel much more comfortable with drafting a safety not in the first round because I also don't think the position value is very good at 19 for a safety. So it kind of leaves us on the defensive line. And where do you get snaps on the defensive line? Steve has talked about Vita Vea for years as a guy that gets 30, 40 snaps.
That's where snap count.
That's where he's the strongest. That's where he gives you the best time. And then you have Kancey, who we just talked about being a high sack guy. And then Logan Hall is going into a contract year. And then Greg Gaines is your backup, right? If you draft a first-round rookie at defensive tackle, he's going to get 20, 30 snaps on the defensive line. We can have a rotation similar to the Eagles, where we have a pass-rushing, strong defensive line. I really think that it's a really good way to go.
Sean's awesome. I asked the guy what's the need. He tells me all the things
and
he doesn't
And that might be the depth of the
defensive line, going back as far as that.
The depth of this draft could be defensive tackle, Sean. Yeah.
The defensive tackle is amazingly deep. But here's the thing. Pass rushing defensive tackles is not deep.
Okay.
All right? So we're going to talk about that when we get to the 19th pick.
Okay. Real quick with a question for Ivor. Now, Sean and I were talking before and just now about safety. Sean's not too keen on drafting a safety.
In the first round.
Yeah. If the Bucs do draft this South Carolina linebacker, safety, South Carolina safety.
Yeah.
No. Sean's worked up about all that money in safety. Is that a sign that something's wrong with Winfield?
I had somebody today, I don't know, I'm not putting any stock on it, but I had somebody today kind of suggesting that Winfield's contract might have gotten to him last year. I hope he's wrong. I don't see it that way.
You draft a safety at 19, I think that says everything we need to know.
You're saying if they draft the safety at 19, that could be a little bit of a referendum on Winfield?
I think salary cap-wise, Jason Light's a very intelligent person. I think he's shown that he can balance the roster and the salary cap extremely well. He's one of the top GMs in the league. I think even he knows you don't tie up two first-round safeties. What other team in the NFL has two first-round safeties?
Now, Winfield's round two.
When I say first round, I'm saying money-wise. Money-wise, he's the top paid.
He became the highest paid defensive back in league history.
In the NFL.
All right, so I'll keep mine real short.
Are you going to come up with this wide receiver nonsense?
No, what I'm going to come up with is I don't feel for a second that a rookie can't beat out an established player to start. So I don't look at it that way at all. If they draft a corner, let him compete with Jamel Dean and somebody goes on the bench. They want depth. They crave it.
Same thing with an inside linebacker fighting Dennis.
Same thing with the inside linebacker. If he's not ready to play, he's not ready to play. Depth. And you could look at that anywhere. But I'd go with the edge rusher. We don't know anything about Reddick. And we're talking about snaps. He may end up becoming a situational pass rusher if Todd Bowles doesn't like the way he plays the run. And there are guys who've been situational pass rushers that play 50% of the snaps and walk away with 9 sacks and they make a career out of it. We don't know what's going to happen.
And his long-term future isn't secure.
I just think the edge rusher situation, if you believe the guy can be a starting edge rusher and a good one, go get him. They're playing for the playoffs here. You need depth. A rookie edge rusher, if he's good, he's going to be good at the end of the year. And so I'm all for that. If they take the corner that Bowles loves, great, Jamel Dean is not going to be here next year, barring a miracle season that he pulls off. So, but I don't have a problem with him going anywhere, but I'd put it in the edge rusher.
I will say this, Sean. A better pass rush will make everybody in the back seven or back six or whatever you want to call it a lot more effective. A lot more. Even Jamel Dean, who I've been killing for 3 months, can be more than adequate with a strong pass rush.
And last, I'll say this is regarding Mike Evans. I think Mike Evans is more important to replace than Levante David because it's much harder to replace a number one receiver than an inside linebacker. So I think that has to be part of the thought process.
That's a really good point, Steve. So like for the shocker in the first round, that'd be pretty incredible. The Bucs at 19 might have a shot at the top two receivers, possibly.
Possibly.
Full-time receivers.
Yeah, full-time, possibly. Yeah. I mean, that's a really interesting point. Again, but you still have Mike Evans for this year and Godwin for this year and McMillan coming back on his second year. So I do think they're going to add a wide receiver. They brought so many in for formal interviews. I think they're going to add a kick returner wide receiver for sure with the new kickoff rules. So I definitely think that's on the agenda. In the first round.
Can I say how ahead of the game Sean is? This is about maybe 3 weeks ago. Sean calls me up. Travis Hunter's a receiver. I said, where are you seeing this? And he's like, no, he's a receiver. I said, Sean, I don't see this anywhere. And I said, I've listened to Lewis Reddick, Peter Schrager.
Start him at corner, start him at corner.
All of them. Then about 3 or 4 days later, I start seeing trickling, wide receiver. Now everybody and their brother is saying there was a wide receiver.
All you have to do is watch film. I watch a lot of film, right? The guy has the best hands in the draft. He's unbelievable, Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson type wide receiver. I think he's he's a generational wide receiver.
Do you play him at all at corner? At all?
He's already said he's going to play both sides.
Or he's going to quit. Yeah, I don't believe that.
He's got a $10 million deal.
You mean full-time?
He's going to be a full-time starter at both positions. I think he's going to be one of those type of guys that's generational.
All right. It's on to the mock.
That's multi-generational.
Wow.
On to the mock draft, which is exciting.
Snaps is a different conversation. I just said he's going to play both. I have no idea what snaps is going to
happen. Yeah, snaps is the conversation. Now, if you want a good read, Ira, an interesting read, Sports Illustrated approached Joe Maddon, the former Rays manager, your good friend, and said, hey, you were the guy with the Angels with Shohei Ohtani, and everybody said he shouldn't play, pitch and play the field, and they talked to him about Travis Hunter. So very interesting.
Very interesting.
And very, very good stuff there, very good. That was really all about the mentality, and it was very interesting. So
I just had dinner with Maddon at Meat Market. We have a love for cabs. I shared
cats.
Cabernet.
We shared an amazing bottle and did not talk baseball at all. So I think I made his night not talking baseball.
Is he a wine snob, Sean?
He is phenomenally
yes, he's a wine snob.
Phenomenal wine.
I think connoisseur.
He's like a part-time sommelier. I'm just letting you know.
Oh, now, this wasn't, this wasn't a two-man dinner.
There was more people at the dinner. We had other friends there. Lee Mesra and some other guys. Some local giants of people, right? And then race car driver Jason was there.
Well, it could have been that big. So, Ira wasn't there.
Did you lose my number, Sullivan?
Yeah, but no, what I'm saying is here? That he was a really entertaining guy. He really knows his California cabs. So
Ira, you don't remember? Ira, you don't remember Steve Dumig always derisively calling Joe Madden Merlot Joe?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
He's a wine snob.
He had a nice bottle always on his desk at the manager's desk.
All right, so it's on to the mock draft. Here we go. We are going to move. We're going to move. And with the number one overall pick, the Tennessee Titans select
Cameron Ward, QB, Miami. This is an easy one. I think that they're going to hit restart. It gives the new coaching staff also a restart. Cam Ward threw for 4,500 yards, 40 touchdowns as a college quarterback. I think he displayed a lot of athleticism. Strong arm, great decision making. Comparable to last year's quarterback draft, which I did call that, by the way, where I did say six were going to go in the first round. Six went in the first 12 picks, which was an NFL record. But Cam Ward, where he fits in, I think he fits in somewhere, taking last year's perspective, in between Bo Nix, who by the way, your friend absolutely fell in love with, and I fell in love with him last year.
He had a hell of a season.
Yeah, and Penix. I think he falls right in there. I think Cam Ward takes a lot of chances that he's not going to be able to do in the NFL. He's going to have to learn some of these balls he's not going to be able to. He's going to have the Jameis Winston a little bit, where he's going to use his talent to really push the ball down the field, and I think he's going to realize he's going to have a little adjustment there. But I think overall, I think he's going to be a solid number one quarterback.
Didn't Tennessee take a young quarterback a couple of years ago?
They did. He makes mayonnaise commercials.
He's still there. He's still there. Yeah.
He's making mayonnaise commercials.
Did you like him coming out of the draft?
I did not. That was Mel Kiper's favorite guy. I had him as a second round. I didn't have him in the first round guy.
Nice call.
Him, he would call me, and like, and I was on the same spot.
I couldn't believe why they thought this guy. I just couldn't wrap my head around
it. I thought he was an idiot. Well, leave us. Ira, he's banana peels.
That's it. He's out.
he also had some off the field stuff that they didn't.
All right, enough.
He puts mayonnaise in his coffee, right?
At the number two overall pick, the Browns select
Travis Hunter, generational talent out of Colorado. This is not what I think they should do. This is what I think they're going to do based on research.
Yeah, let me reset that. Sean is giving his picks as to what he believes will happen, and he's done this every year. This is not some sort of Sean Sullivan only film review draft.
But then he tells you whether it's the right move or not.
Exactly. That's so right. Continue, Sean.
Well, when I was at the combine with you and Lee, by the way, which was an amazing experience.
Life-changing experience
when you're sitting talking to Ken Stefanski and Brian Daboll, you know, having scotch, you know, with Joe Shine from the Giants. And you're like sitting there going, I can't believe I'm sitting with these guys talking to them. And I love name dropping because I met all these guys and talked to them. And they're so friendly in that environment to talk to you, which I really liked. One of the conversations I had with Ken was his quarterback's not coming back this year, right? So the injury was severe enough to miss all of 2025 and the beginning of 2026, depending on how he's going to make training camp. I don't think he's going to be there. I mean, they have 1 year left of the guaranteed contract. I think they can do something prior to June 2nd of 2026.
Deshaun Watson.
We're talking about Deshaun Watson, yeah. And right now, they just re-signed Joe Flacco, and they have and they traded for Pickett, right, to compete for that job. And I personally think that the Cleveland Browns, what fits his professional system is Shedeur Sanders. He loves pocket passers that are super accurate. That's what Shedeur Sanders is. If I'm them, I'm drafting Sanders in this spot just because he has never completed less than 70% of his passes. His arm is good enough to pass in the NFL, and his down-the-field throws are terrific. That's what I would do. But Travis Hunter, again, I understand what they're doing because they also need cornerback depth at Cleveland. So I understand they need both. But who's going to be throwing them the ball? I really don't know.
Well, we can all hope the Bucs have a wild trade up to get Hunter, but that's not going to happen. All right. With the number three overall pick, the New York Giants select
Abdul Carter, edge, Penn State. Obviously been compared to Micah Parsons, obviously because they play at the same school. I don't think that he's comparable. I think he's a little bit of a different player, but I think he's a pass rushing specialist, and it's really hard to get these guys that are projected to be double digit sackers in the NFL. That's what he's projected to be. I think he's a very, very good player, and I think the Giants are going to have to figure out. They just traded for Brian Burns, you know, and they drafted Thibodeau out of Oregon. So now, I mean, if they draft Abdul Carter, you're looking at a tremendous pass rush, kind of like the old blue pass rush. And, you know, they're going to restart at quarterback. You know,
sure.
So we'll see how that goes.
That's the pick.
But here's another place that Shedeur Sanders, if Cleveland doesn't draft him, the Giants passed on Patrick Mahomes right? They passed on four of the six quarterbacks last year that were drafted in the first round, who seem to be all franchise quarterbacks, by the way. It looks like all six are going to start this year as franchise quarterbacks. The Giants just need to take a damn quarterback. That's what they need to do, but they're not. They're going to go with maybe with
Sean,
Abdul Carter.
Is it crazy to think that some of these quarterback-needy teams like the Giants, Saints, some others, Pittsburgh, maybe takes another player and then next year will be a more quarterback-rich draft? Is that possible?
I mean,
could they be thinking about that?
I mean, right now is the Manning sweepstakes next year, right?
So is he coming out?
I mean, there's such, you know, that's what everybody's saying. That's what they're hoping. He's making $10 million playing at Texas. Yeah. So, I mean, that's a lot of money.
Are
you
putting him in the Caleb Williams category?
No. I haven't seen enough of him. Right now, I think I've seen flashes. I saw flashes of Richardson as well when he was for the Florida Gators. So you see flashes. I have no idea what kind of quarterback Manning. I will know this year. I just haven't watched enough snaps on
him. He's got, maybe 20 attempts?
No, he actually started two
Kyle
games.
Trask?
He actually started two games and performed extremely well in two starts for Texas.
When yours got hurt. Yeah.
Not enough. It's not enough to besides his name, would we be looking at him like without that Manning name?
No way.
I don't know with this many snaps.
He wouldn't be at Texas without that Manning name.
Well, there's also the question about the Sanders name as well, but that's a topic for another day.
True.
All right. With the number 4 overall pick, the New England Patriots select
Will Campbell, offensive tackle, LSU. Top left tackle on the board, and of course Drake May. They found their franchise quarterback last year, played exceptionally well. I was presently surprised by with the cast that he had, the supporting
especially
cast.
Especially the cast
he still played extremely well with that cast. And of course, I would go with like a T-Mac or something here, give him an offensive weapon, but they can't protect him. They've got to get a tackle in there, and they go with the best tackle in the draft.
And he's a left tackle, right?
And he's a left tackle. Okay. Yeah, I don't care what they say about his arms. They're saying his arms are an inch and a half short. I don't care about his arms. The guy can play. The guy's going to be a starting left tackle in the NFL.
You just pulled a Lucille Ball.
LT.
No. You said he's left, right? That's a Lucille Ball line.
I hear you.
I think Drake May, a little bit of wishful thinking involved in his evaluation last year, but. I don't think he had anybody to throw to.
Sean, who Drake Nailed. May have?
He had Sean nobody Nailed. To throw to.
He didn't, but...
He also had a subpar running game, had a terrible offensive
line.
He's
no Baker Mayfield, Steve.
Yeah, Sean Nailed it.
With the number 5 overall pick, Liam Cohen and the Jaguars select.
I'm going to go with Mason Graham, defensive lineman out of Michigan. Mm. So they were the worst team stopping the run last year. And I know it was hard for me on this pick because all the data that I'm seeing... This is the guy that can go in there and stop the run right away. Professional guy, can start from day one, really work on the line. So Jacksonville has invested quite a bit of draft capital in that defensive line, just not at the interior defensive line.
They got your favorite edge rusher.
Yeah, he had a solid season last year. he's taken some time. I still don't think he's as good as Hutch.
Trayvon Walker.
But remember, it wasn't about whether I would take him at all. It was just whether I would take him over Hutch.
No, I know. And I know. Best in class better. Podcast listeners know your angst over that.
Yeah, it was a whole long thing.
The rumor of the day, gently to the Jags, because Cohen wants to run the ball.
Well, that's what I was going to talk about with him. It's really hard for me not to pick an offensive player, but not to be able to stop the run would murder his team.
All right. No big surprises yet in Sean's draft here.
Well, I got some coming up. But as far as the Mason Graham thing with Liam Cohen, it was really hard for me to put a defensive player because Liam Cohen is going to be a guy that's going to want to get his quarterback some help. You know, Brian Thomas Jr., what a selection last year.
Yes.
Unbelievable talent at wide receiver. They don't have a tight end right now. It's going to be very hard. Like Tyler Warren would be a really interesting pick right here for that offense because, as you know, throwing the tight ends, helping the running game, helping his quarterback out because, you know, he basically he needs to work on Trevor Lawrence.
They need to make a decision about Trevor Lawrence, right, Sean, by the end of this year?
They do. And yeah. I was going to say Mason Graham, though, solves a big problem for them.
They got a lot of problems. With the number 6 overall pick, Tom Brady selects
Ashon Gente, running back.
Going to the Raiders. Now, that's pretty another chalk pick there for sure.
Vegas has it at like a 78% lock for that pick.
Who's making the pick?
Pete Carroll's making the pick. By the way, who was my neighbor at my hotel, he had the suite next to mine in Indianapolis. So I got to ride up and down the elevator with
him. You should have heard the things that Sean heard.
Oh, my God.
That was so great.
How confident are you that Jonte can translate to the pro game?
I think he's one of those generational guys. I think that every once in a while, you know, like for me, it was Jahmyr Gibbs. If you guys remember how high I was on Jahmyr Gibbs.
Yes.
And then I wanted the Bucks to draft him, and he didn't make it. We ended up with Kansi because it was obviously
he went at 11.
So now I feel like we did really good. But I think that he's a guy that steps right in and makes a humongous difference. He gives Geno Smith a different look because now the Raiders finally have a quarterback. They went out and got Brock Bowers, my favorite tight end last year. He only had 1,000 yards receiving. Could have been Offensive Rookie of the Year had not the quarterbacks, but they always win. But Brock Bowers had a tremendous season, one of the all-time greatest seasons for a tight end ever. And now you add a running back to go with Brock Bowers and Geno Smith.
I'm not sure he gets past the Patriots, but this is not my mock draft.
Is he that much better than Josh Jacobs? They had Josh Jacobs a couple of years ago.
They let Josh Jacobs walk.
But I'm saying, is Jante better than Josh Jacobs?
I think that the one thing that he does is that he can take the ball, he can score. I think Josh Jacobs wasn't a sideline to sideline guy. He was like a guy that moves the chains and would have those really tough runs and break tackles yards after catch.
This guy's a home run hitter.
Okay.
With the number 7 overall pick, the New York Jets select
Armand Mimbu, offensive tackle out of Missouri. The Jets have had offensive line struggles now for ever, I think from the start of the franchise. I'm not sure. You probably know, Steve, because you're
since the Rex Ryan days.
Well, so they protected Joe Namath pretty well in the
60s. I want like 30 seconds on Justin Fields, because I think this is a move that no one's talking about in the NFL, and I think it was probably the best offseason move, period. For the Jets to get a 26-year-old franchise, this reminds me of the Baker Mayfield pickup where Jason Light just was like having coffee somewhere. He goes, you know what? I'm just going to pick a franchise quarterback that can throw for 80 touchdowns off the street. And that's what he did. Justin Fields is a 26-year-old amazing quarterback. He got lost in Chicago for obvious reasons, went 4-1 as a starter in Pittsburgh last year, threw for over 70% for the first time in his career. He had terrific coaching. The Jets stole him. I absolutely think that New York is going to fall in love with him, and I think that adding another tackle in there to really give him some protection, you know, going in with Breece Hall is going to be healthy going in there. They have some talent at wide receiver with Garrett Wilson, I think you're going to see Justin Fields running and throwing all over the field.
Why didn't Pittsburgh fall in love with Justin Fields? What happened?
That's a really good question. Why they didn't re-sign him or Russell Wilson? I'm not quite sure what the Steelers are doing, to be honest. I still think that Mike Tomlin benefited from a Hall of Fame quarterback when he took over, and I feel like he's still riding on some of that. And you know that he, what do they call it? Some sweat equity based on that deal.
All right, we're 7 through. Lee, you got a thought on Sean so far? Is he doing okay?
Of course, he's doing okay. Yeah, no issues.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute.
I didn't ask you, Sage.
may I throw a monkey wrench into this thing?
You may.
I don't share Sean's unbridled enthusiasm about Justin Fields. I don't share it. I think the guy's got some potential, but in the words of Lee DeKemper, he ain't done it yet. And until he does, we shall see.
If I got a nitpick when Sean said he had good coaching last year at Pittsburgh, really?
He played 5 games. He won 4 of them. Should have been 5-0. The defense gave up that. Remember, I watch every snap of every game. The defense gave up. He should have been 5-0 as a starter. He threw for over 70 yards. He only threw 2 interceptions. Only had 2 overall turnovers as a starting quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
He should be a Steeler.
I can't. You're asking me to get into the mind of the Steelers. I don't know what they're doing.
Artie Smith, I cannot use him in the same paragraph.
Your boy Arthur Smith,
I don't get it. I can't. I can't.
I'll say, watching him 2 or 3 games last year, what stood out to me was, wow, this guy looks so much better than the guy who was awful against the Bucks.
Yeah.
Against the Bucks.
He also throws one of the best long balls. People don't realize.
He throws on the run well. He's a talented guy.
He rushed for 1,000 yards on the ground.
I don't understand why he's not still in Pittsburgh. All right.
Yeah.
With the number 8 overall pick, the Panthers and their horrible defense select.
I hate the Panthers. I just want to put that out there. But they're going to go with Jalen Walker, edge linebacker out of Georgia. I've been following Carolina. I listen to the podcasts for all the different teams, all of the Joe Bucks fans for every city, right? And I know it takes a lot of time for me to do it, but even when I'm at the gym, I have it in. I'm listening to Chicago. I'm listening to Indianapolis. So they have fallen in love with this guy. Unless they've been talking about it for 6 weeks, this is their guy. Because that's all of their sports reporters talk about. This is who Vegas has him taking. This is who they want to take. This is who all of their website want to take. So it's and this is a Jalen Walker is a guy that can play inside and outside. you know, linebacker. He can put his hand down. He can rush the passer. He has, I mean, he's a pretty unique player. For me, he's on the smaller side. And I, as a Bucks fan, I always feel it weird when someone doesn't fit my physical profile, because the Bucks have drafted these Noah Spence, Logan Hall guys, where MJ Stewart guys, which are just tweeners between linebacker and safety, or a tweener between outside linebacker and inside linebacker.
Don't use the word cross train. Don't say
not cross trainer. I'm talking about physically. They don't fit the prototype of a position.
I got you. Well, we'll get to that with the Bucks. Hold on. You mentioned Logan Hall, so I
got one more thing to say about the Panthers at number 8, and I think even Sean would agree with me, although he loves to disagree with me. Sean, if there was an elite receiver, and I don't think there is, if there was an elite receiver, that'd be a perfect spot for the Panthers to pull the trigger and get a damn decent target for their young quarterback. But I don't think there's a wide receiver worth taking at that spot.
All right, so they're definitely drafting wide receivers. I just feel like with the wide receiver depth, if you listen to my podcast, the top end is a couple of guys are okay, but the majority of them are going to be the second, third, fourth round picks. I think they're going to get tremendous value in the second round at wide receiver, tremendous value
at
third round.
But don't take it at number 8. Don't take them at number 8.
Well, I just think defensively, they got to have somebody that can tackle on that team. They traded away all their defensive talent.
They got Derek Brown. He's good.
Right. That's one guy.
That's one guy. Yeah, one guy.
Who's the other 10? Yeah. Right? So who are the other 10 guys that are playing on their defense? They need someone to hang and say, Jalen Walker is going to be our pass rusher, our star player.
All right. That's why I started it by saying the Panthers and their miserable defense, 32nd ranked defense, scoring and yardage.
They're awful.
Horrible. All right.
We are a quarter of the way through the draft.
We are heading to the slimy Saints at number 9.
Oh, baby.
And they select
Jackson Dart, QB, Mississippi.
Well, Lee loves that guy.
All right, so here's the thing about
over
this.
Sanders.
I'm going to talk about that. So the offensive coordinator for the New Orleans Saints is Kellen Moore. Kellen Moore's offense does not fit a prototypical pocket passer like Shedeur Sanders. I know that all these people have Shedeur Sanders going to the Saints, and if he does get drafted there, great, because Kellen Moore is not the offensive coordinator for Shedeur Sanders.
So great from a Buck perspective.
It's a zero fit. It's a zero fit for Kellen Moore unless he's going to adjust his entire offense. He loves the guys that can throw in the run. He loves the more athletic quarterbacks. Shedeur Sanders is a lot of things, guys. He's not athletic. He doesn't have He doesn't have a super strong arm. He's not going to run a fast 40. He's not going to give you a lot out of the pocket. He is a pocket passer. He's a Kirk Cousins. He's going to sit back there, and he's going to deliver the ball down the field over and over again with accuracy. You're not going to get more out of him than that. And there's nothing wrong with that. Mm-hmm, it just does not fit the Saints' mold of a pocket passer. I told you, Shedeur Sanders fits exactly what the Cleveland Browns do on offense.
Lee, your thoughts on Jackson Dart?
Yeah, and this is going to tick off Sean again because he always gets on me and goes, you always bring this up. One reason why I bring it up because I think it's so significant. The way he melted down against Florida was just appalling to me. I don't think I've ever seen a legit franchise quarterback do that. Now, I saw Jameis melt down, but that was the playoffs against Oregon, who was a team that went to the national championship. Good team. I saw Peyton Manning melt down once. That was against Florida when Florida was dominant. Spurrier. I have Caleb Williams. He melted down against Notre Dame. Notre Dame, pretty damn good defense. And they're in the national championship this year. So I've seen good quarterbacks have meltdowns against quality teams. The Gators weren't that quality defense last year. And Dart, I just couldn't believe. He threw up on himself. Literally, there's film out there. You see the yellow puke on his jersey. 3 picks in the last 2 minutes?
You sure
three
wasn't me
picks.
After 2 donuts?
So, Lee, to sum this up, you're saying that you think that Jackson Dart might not be a good franchise fit and quarterback for the New Orleans Saints. Terrific. I'm all for that.
From a Buck perspective.
I hope if the New Orleans Saints draft any player, I hope they're the biggest bust in history. Right? The Saints shouldn't even have a franchise, but they do.
There's your YouTube clip right there.
Yeah, they're absolutely terrible.
With the number 10 overall pick, the Chicago Bears select
Tyler Warren, tight end out of Penn State. So Caleb Williams gets his tight end. It's going to really help his progression in Ben Johnson's offense. Ben Johnson, if you know, coming from the Detroit Lions, they are tight end focused group. He's going to get the best tight end in the draft. This guy can block. This guy can catch. He's a terrific teammate. I love his size. He's Gronk-like in that size-wise. He is a big human being. Kittle's a terrific blocker, but Kittle doesn't run like an inseam route as well. Okay. If you look at Tyler Warren, not only is he yards after catch, try to tackle him, by the way, when he gets into the secondary.
Yeah.
It's kind of a joke when you watch him They just bounce off of him.
Yeah.
But this is a guy that has wide receiver route skills.
Mm.
And we're going to talk about it. I mean, I know probably not in this podcast, but this Fan and Junior kid out of Bowling Green is another guy that runs these amazing seam routes.
We can mention that. But we can mention it later.
He's not a burner, Warren.
Bucks brought him in for an interview, by the way. Well, he's so happy.
Warren,
he's not a burner, right?
No. Well, he has terrific speed for his size, but he's not going to be a burner as far as a tight end's concerned. You're not looking at him for him to be a burner. He's a stud tight end who's going to change a lot of things. And by the way, he fits the Chicago Bulls' mares of toughness. Like, we can say what we want about the Bears, but they have a reputation of having tough guys.
Yeah,
this is a tough guy. This is the phone booth eats broken glass
blocker,
guy.
Big blocker.
That's pretty good targets for Caleb Williams now if they get this guy.
Absolutely. Oh, yes. I think this is Ben Johnson. Ben Johnson's going to want this top tight end for his offense. That's what he does.
So, Gente, he's a smokescreen with the Bears?
I think if Gente falls to 10, I mean, I think it's possible. I mean, but if you think about what they just
invested. Now, that would fit Johnson too, right?
The Bears invested so much money in running back last year. I mean, I don't know how they can financially go, we're going to draft yet another running back.
He won't be there. There's no way.
I don't think he's going to be there. I think he's a generational talent. I think he's a superstar.
I'm glad you mentioned George Kittle, because with the number 11 overall pick, the 49ers select
Kelvin Banks, offensive tackle, Texas. This is another tackle. So the San Francisco 49ers have now lost their starting tackles. So they haven't signed anybody in free agency at this point. I think they're going into the draft, and they're going to see how the draft turns out for them. And then I think they're probably going to start signing some guys.
Ira, your guy John Lynch is struggling. Lost a lot of players after six wins.
They seem to be on a downward spiral, Sean. Their swing tackle was just signed by the Chiefs. They paid him $30 million.
Yeah, they didn't have the cap room. They didn't have the cap room.
Trent Williams is about 62 years old, right? Yep. This pick makes sense.
He is a little bit younger than Bill Curry Ford since 1960, Ira.
That is true.
Serving Tampa.
They've got to get young on the offensive line. They've got to fix the offensive line.
And they got to pay Brock Purdy, right?
If they pay Brock Purdy $50 million, I don't know. I think I'm just going to throw my laptop up in the air until it crashes.
They got a lot of problems, Ira. All right. With the number 12 overall pick, the Dallas Cowboys select
T-Mac, wide receiver, Arizona. So this is a guy, they've been looking for that pairing to go with CeeDee Lamb. CeeDee Lamb is your slasher speed guy. Now they're going to go with a guy that can high point the ball, you know, 6'4", can get down the field, possess the receiver, have yards after the catch. He's a red zone, absolutely a red zone beast, this gentleman is. I mean, he is unbelievable in that red zone. I think that really opens up the Dallas Cowboys offense.
Any questions about this guy's work ethic or anything, Sean?
No.
I got any asterisks next to him?
No, I think he's got great hands. He's got above average hands. The one thing I don't like is when people compare him to Mike Evans. It really bothers me. The only thing they're comparable, they both play wide receiver and they're both tall players. I don't like the comparison to Mike Evans. Mike Evans is a first ballot Hall of Famer. Mike Evans is faster than T-Mac. T-Mac ran like a 4.54. Mike Evans is a 4.4 guy coming out of Texas A&M. The size-wise, the 225, 220, his weight does fluctuate. T-Mac is a little bit skinnier. I don't think he carries his weight like Mike Evans. I just don't like it because they both high point the ball.
I got you.
Instantly, they're like, Mike Evans. Stop comparing rookies to Hall of Famers. It drives me insane.
And this is where Ira would say, you know, Dallas, we don't know if that quarterback's going to be healthy. We should be thankful we got Baker Mayfield here.
Now, I will say this, and I don't think it's going to happen, Sean, neither do you. If Jonte falls to 12, Dallas is going to take him.
Yeah, it's not happening.
That's not happening. Okay.
I agree with Ira.
Smart man.
Because Dallas people have been talking about that for months.
Absolutely.
All right, now next up is a team the Bucks will play this year, a team falling apart at the seams with the number 13 overall pick, the Miami Dolphins select
Will Johnson, cornerback, Michigan. Now, this plays right into your last conversation on Joe Bucks Fan podcast about Jalen Ramsey.
Somebody's listening.
Right? I never miss. Right? So they 100% will probably do something with Ramsey before the season starts. They're either going to cut him or trade him. Will Johnson gives them an instant starter, plug and play from day one. He's going to be a pretty impact player, I think, as a rookie, which is Tony Dungy said that the hardest position to play in the NFL as a rookie is defensive back. That's what he said. It takes time for these guys to develop. It took time for McCollum to develop, didn't it?
Took time for Rondé to develop.
Rondé as well. John Lynch, same thing. John Lynch, his rookie year, said, I should have been cut. I would play so poorly my rookie year. And then they're Hall of Famers. So what I'm saying is it's a difficult position. A lot of guys don't come in you know,
like, not everybody's Sauce Gardner. It's just that simple.
The sauce is the sauce, right? Not everybody can come in and be a Pro Bowler his first year. And by the way, he was an All Pro, which I called on Best in Class. I said he'd be the first cornerback All Pro, and he was the first cornerback All Pro.
I got a quick comment on the Dolphins, Steve, before we move on. What the hell are you doing, Miami? That's a bad team. They're spinning their wheels. They got like five or six really good players, but they're going nowhere. Sean, that team can't go into Buffalo in January and win that game. They can't do it. They're not built like that.
And Hill's having a lot of problems
If I'm a Dolphin fan, I'm very frustrated right now.
They spent a lot of money on players, too much on a lot of them, and screwed up contracts. And it's
Tyreek Hill squawking.
Messy.
He's in trouble again.
He's not going to be there, most likely.
They gave Jaylen Waddle a ton of money, and they didn't really have to like that.
He's not a top-notch guy, Waddle. He's just not.
The Dolphins make you happy that we've got Mike Greenberg over there handling the
Blazer
checkbook.
You know what I like about the Dolphins? If you have a good 6 to 8 game stretch as a player, you can get a long-term deal there. All you have to do is have a good 6 to 8 games, you can get a long-term deal. I don't understand it either.
Bucks at the Dolphins this year. Maybe we have to make a road trip with Sean. He can grab one of those beautiful F-250s out there and take us. How about that, Sean?
I love it. Yeah, let's do it.
Lee, up for Sean driving us to
That'd be interesting.
All right. So, with the number 14 overall pick, the Indianapolis Colts select
Colston Loveland, tight end, Michigan. So they haven't had a tight end in Indianapolis, and I listened to the podcast for the Colts.
Don't tell me since Dallas Clark.
They've actually brought up Dallas Clark.
I was going to say that's
it was a good one.
When Manning was there, right? Yeah, yeah. They have not had a tight end to help a young quarterback like Anthony Richardson. They also went out.
He needs more than a tight end.
Oh, he needs a lot of help. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
But here's the thing. They did go out and they got the Giants quarterback.
Daniel Jones.
And by the way, the Colts, they just need a tight end. This is a terrific tight end. I got the opportunity. I was walking with Lee at the Combine, and it was in between interviews. You know where there was an interview time, Steve, and there was like the break. And I see this young man, and he's over there talking. Really nice guy. Super tall. You know, like looks like Superman. I walk over, I start talking to him. It's Loveland. So I was like, hey, it's nice to meet you. And I got to talk to him. Well-mannered man, young man. I mean, they're all kids to me, but they're super young, super kind, talking football with me. And he was like, so where do you do? Where are you from? And he says, well, I'm with Joe Bucks fan, you know, in Tampa. And he's like, well, I haven't talked to Tampa yet. And I said, well, I don't think we can get you, to be honest, like where we're drafting. And then I said, I think you're going to go higher. And he was like, oh, man, that's really great. Thanks. And then he sat down and did an interview later with Chris Sims, who was also an interview of Joe Bucks fan. And then he was nice enough to catch me on the way out and say, hey, it was nice talking to you. This is a good young man.
Sean sold him a 150.
I mean, this is a good kid.
You should have told him you were the Bengals GM.
That's so true.
Quick weigh-in on the Colts. I feel the same way about them as the Dolphins. What are you doing? You're not terrible, and you're not good. You're spinning your wheels. How long are the Colts going to be an 8-9 team, Sean?
Well,
where are
again,
they going?
If you don't have a franchise quarterback, you're always going to be rebuilding, right? That's the saying, right? That's a very famous saying. Without a franchise quarterback, you're in rebuilding mode. It doesn't matter what you're telling fans. It doesn't matter what you're telling anybody. They need to figure out if Anthony Richardson is a franchise quarterback.
He's
By
not.
The way, the best shot this kid's going to have in his entire life is the coach that he's with right now, who was the coach.
Yeah, Shane Steichen, yeah.
Yeah, he was Josh Allen's guy. Josh Allen credits him. I'm talking about the quarterback for the Bills, not the pass rusher for Jacksonville.
Right.
Josh, so he credits him with making him a more accurate NFL quarterback. When he was at Wyoming, he threw for less than 55% completion percentage. When he was coming out, they said this guy can't. He's got a strong arm, but he can't hit the broadside of a barn. He passed for over 65% of passes last year for Buffalo. He credits this quarterback coach for helping him. That is who Indianapolis invested in this offseason to help Anthony Richardson.
They're banking on him.
This is the best shot this kid's going to have. If he comes out, let's hope, because I don't wish ill will on anyone except for the Saints.
Yeah.
for sure. And the Seahawks and sometimes the Panthers. Anyway, I hope he does well. I hope the coach does something. I mean, I would like him to do well. I really do.
The combine where Anthony Richardson was coming out in the draft, up in an Uber. Uber's taking me. It's like, you know, 25, 30 degrees. Uber driver starts talking to me. Hey, what do you do? I guess he saw, you know, I had my badge. And, oh, you're here for the combine. Yeah, got talking. And I finally told him who I was or what I did. And he's like, Please don't tell me the Colts are drafting Anthony Richardson.
That was
even the cab drivers knew, Steve.
Uber. 21st century
Albert. I still can't believe he went as high as he did. I think it was four overall.
It was four.
It boggles my mind. It's amazing
that Chris Ballard, the Colts GM, who's a great guy, still has a job. It's unbelievable.
Well, I think it's crazy Jim Irsay who wanted the quarterback. He ordered the GM to do it.
Yeah.
So, of course, he's not going to fire a guy.
He put his guitar down and stamped his foot down. All right,
we are going
to say something else to get us in these legal
next,
trouble.
These next three picks, we're going to move pretty quickly through these, Sean.
All right, let's go.
All right, with the number 15 overall pick, the Atlanta Falcons select
Mike Green, pass rusher, Marshall.
The edge is coming back to Atlanta. It hasn't been there in years. Ira, you like that pick for them?
Well, I don't think there's many teams that have as particular a need as the Falcons going into this draft. They got to get a pass rush.
They do. And his off-the-field stuff kind of fits exactly right into the Falcons.
I think Blank's perfect. Desperate. I think character issues aren't going to matter.
Mike Green can rush the passer.
And they're hoping that he can get 13 sacks.
He can solve
sacks.
A lot of their problems. I think that he's a guy that comes into the league ready to rush the passer.
How desperate can Blank be if he hires Raheem Morris over Bill Belichick?
Well, he might have got some bad advice on that one. Yeah.
Kaiser McKay?
Green has a variety of moves, Sean, or just a speed rusher?
Oh, no. No, he's a polished pass rusher. This guy can absolutely play. I mean, this is one of the most polished guys in the draft.
All right. He's not getting by Tristan Wirfs, so
that's right.
That's what we care about. All right. With the number 16 overall pick, the Arizona Cardinals select
Michael Williams, edge, Georgia. He's also a defensive tackle, plays all three spots in the defensive line. Very versatile player. If this guy does fall to 19, I think that he's on the Bucs' radar. I just don't think he makes it.
He doesn't make it, Ira. Doesn't make it. We got a little run on edge rushers going.
What's with these Georgia defensive players, Sean? People love them.
It's good when all you get is five-star recruits, right? You just keep getting five-star recruit, and you have good coaching. Georgia is good coaching, and they have a great staff.
With the number 17 overall pick, the Cincinnati Bengals select
defensive lineman Derek Harmon, Oregon. So I think he's not as highly rated as some of the other guys. The Cincinnati Bengals love this guy. I don't know if they're going to pick him at 17. They might trade down to get him, but I do believe that he's going to be their selection. They have been all over him for about 3 weeks.
Is he an edge?
No, he's a defensive. So he's going to help their interior line, but he has pass rush. So he can do both, but he's a terrific run stopper. But he's he has three tools. You know, he can rush the passer, he can play the run.
They got to decide what to do with Hendrickson, Sean. I mean, are they going to deal him or are they going to keep him?
That's up to them. Hendrickson's an outside.
He's under
player.
Contract, yep. so he'll probably be there.
Derek Harmon gives them a lot of help on the inside.
Okay, they got to go defense. The Bengals have to go defense.
All right, Sage. Sean mentioned three tools. Now Florida's Elite Restoration probably
fork, knife, spoon.
14 tools over at Florida's Elite Restoration to suss out what's going on in your property when you got fire damage, storm damage, mold. You're the water damage whisperer of Newport Richey. Water damage is a killer. They come out with their technology. And they get it done to assess what's happening at your property. It's all free. So if you have a disaster, you call Florida's Elite Restoration 24/7, and they come on out there.
And Sean's got direct experience with
Sean's used them twice. Sean's referred them. Rock Riley, who we just heard, he's used them. I've used them. I didn't really have a disaster, but it's a different story.
I had a disaster, Steve, Sean twice.
Sean had two real disasters.
I read your column, Steve. You do have a disaster. Continue.
Florida's Elite Restoration.com. Get to their website now. Put them in your disaster plan. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. And they service the whole Bay Area across the state over there, I-4. Just call them up and they'll get out to you. Josh Martin, he's got that Ira Kaufman discount. So he's the owner. He's worked on the insurance side of the business with so many on his team. So they know how to handle it and make it happen for you to get the money that you've paid for to repair your property. Florida's Elite Restoration.com.
We're up to the pick before the Bucks here, Steve.
I know.
This is getting antsy here.
One-stop shop. Yeah, they'll make your repairs, too, if you need it. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. That's why I had to mention them now, because people might turn off after the Bucks pick.
That's right.
So you may get mad, because a lot of people are passionate about this. All right. As we sit here, we get close in the Bill Curry Ford Studios.
I'm a little nervous right now.
With a number 18 overall pick, the Seattle Seahawks select
Gray Zabel, interior offensive lineman, North Dakota State. He is a wrecking crew at guard. They've needed a guard now for two consecutive drafts. So I think they go out and get the top interior offensive lineman in the draft at pick 18.
Don't they need a wide receiver, Sean?
They do. Again, we're going to go through the wide receivers again. There's a lot of depth at wide receiver. Okay. So but there's not a lot of depth at the number one interior offensive lineman. Okay. I think, like I said, that some of the teams that are selecting these guys, they're getting terrific value because typically this is a guard that goes top 12.
So this could be the best guard in the draft.
This is the best guard.
The best guard in the draft.
We are up to the Buccaneers now. This guard, Ira, he played with Cody Mauch. I actually got caught up listening to a show with Mauch in North Dakota talking about this guy. It was very interesting, actually.
How you find these shows nobody knows.
Yeah, they're kind of funny in North Dakota. The commercials are hilarious, you know, with the feed and the
caribou.
And the green bean seed enhancers and things like that.
Caribou in North Dakota?
Drum roll, we're up to the Bucks, people.
All right, Lee, who do you like that's still on the board here for the Bucks?
Nolan. Nolan's still on the board. Who did the other guy? Kenneth Grant
still on the board. Well.
Yeah. Either one of those two guys is fine. Like I said, I don't care anywhere on defense. I really don't care. But if you put a gun to my head, it's a defensive tackle. I go Nolan or I go Kenneth Grant. I like both of them. I like how Kenneth Grant runs down running backs. I like how Nolan, or I keep wanting to say Nolan Ryan. I like how Nolan is Sean's word, not mine, violent.
He's just a violent player, yeah.
I like both of them.
And I like the Barron kid at corner. I don't think that would
Jadae
be a bad
Barron,
pick.
Yeah, it's a terrific, terrific kid.
All right, Sage. Now, if the Bucks go interior line like Lee's talking about here, do you think we see a day three trade of Logan Hall? Because the Bucks like this guy, contract year. He starts. He had 5.5 sacks last year. He plays inside. He is getting better each year. We know how much the Bucks cling to their own. Is this even possible that the Bucks would draft an interior lineman here?
Of course, it's more than possible. I think it might be likely. And I hate to shoot you down, Steve, this early.
It's not me.
I don't want to shoot you down in front of Sean Sullivan. But do you know what kind of lack of compensation you would get for Logan Hall right now?
Fifth round pick?
No. You wouldn't even get a fifth round pick. I'm sorry,
Steve. I dare say, although I don't know what kind of compensation you'd get for Logan Hall, but I've had talks with Bucks people, probably more so than this audience in this room. The Bucks have a different opinion of Logan Hall than the vast majority of
civilians. So you're saying he's not being traded?
Well, I'm not saying that. You know, if someone offers a second round pick, oh yeah, they'd trade him. But they like what he does. I actually think they believe he might be an upgrade from Will Golston. Now, you could go back and argue the merits of drafting a high first guy in the second round, right, Sean? Logan Hall?
Yes.
And turning him into Will Golston. Okay, I get that.
But we missed on Kloftis. I have to say it. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, but they got him. It cost money, whatever. But they turned him into Will Golston, and he's done a really good job. They think he's done a very good job.
Let's get to the Bucks pick here, Stevie.
All right.
I'm not ready. I need a minute. I want to go over a couple of things before I give you my pick because it's not going to be consensus pick.
Build up.
I want to talk about
this. That's outrageous.
We're
up to Sean. He needs time. Las
Vegas has us at 59%. That's where the money is. Drafting a pass rusher, and it's Donovan. And please, Steve, go ahead.
Izaraku
out of Boston College. That is the consensus pick for Vegas. Now, the pundits have us drafting Jahad Campbell. If you go out of the linebacker of Alabama, if you go through just about every single pundit says, we need an inside linebacker. This is the guy that fits the Bucs. Here's the thing. I don't want to pick somebody that everyone else has picked because then it's not original to me,
yes.
which is the Campbell. And I talked about Campbell 3 months ago. This is prior to the shoulder injury. I think the shoulder injury is going to move him down the board quite a bit. I think it's more serious than what people are saying. And that's why I have him, and I'm going to tell you why I have him. I still have him in the first round, but I'm going to tell you who's going to draft him.
All right, two things.
And the other – I got one more thing about the pick was in 2018, the Bucks were told by everyone that we were drafting – who at safety in 2018? Do you remember, Lee?
Oh, Derwin James.
Derwin James. They said, Vegas had us a lock at Derwin James.
Book it.
They were drafting a safety. With the Bucks and safeties, I don't know. What does Light do? He trades down. He drafts Vita Vea. Out of nowhere, he drafts this defensive pass rushing tackle that wasn't on anybody's radar. They didn't bring him in to talk to him. Surprise pick. Okay? Then you and I and Lee and Ira are sitting at a restaurant for the draft party, and we're sitting there, and I wanted Jahmyr Gibbs. Jahmyr Gibbs went at 11. I said, okay, we got to pivot. Who are we looking at? We're looking at some other players. Then he drafts Kancey out of nowhere. No interviews, no formal interviews, no pundits.
Not linked to him.
No. Not linked to the Bucks by
even
anybody.
Even Kancey was shocked.
Even Kancey, when he was interviewed, going, who drafted me? I didn't even talk to their coaches, right? You remember that whole interview? Another pass-rushing defensive tackle.
So this is Jason Light's pattern. So here we go. We think we're going to draft Jihad Campbell, right? This is what everybody's saying we're going to draft, right? Vegas is then saying you're going to draft a pass rusher.
Oh, wait a minute. Ira's been very clear. It's not happening with Campbell. And I believe they're not going to draft Campbell.
Okay.
Lee, do you believe they're not
I just don't think
Campbell?
He'd get playing time as well right now, but that's I talked about
that. You said everyone. It's not us. It's not
right.
us.
Sean's idea of everybody and our idea of everybody is not exact.
Sean, one more thing before you make the pick.
Yes.
And everybody's hanging on for this pick. I just thought of this. Do you think that their experience with Servassier Dennis and his particular injury and what it has cost Dennis could affect the way they look at Campbell with a shoulder?
I think it's only natural. 100%. It's only natural for them to think that.
Who else did we talk about, Sean?
Noah Spence.
Yep.
So Noah Spence, another shoulder guy that stopped his entire career. So your shoulder is a big deal for linebackers. I mean, it's – so the other thing we're going to talk about is a corner. If we go on corners, like I told you, Will's off the board, but Jadae Barron's still on the board. He's a guy that I like a lot for that. Mikel Williams is off the board. Matthew Golden was also a first-round guy that was interviewed. Like you said, if we were going with like a Mike Evans replacement.
The guy ran like a 4.3 or something. Yeah.
Now, yes. I'll say this.
But I have my pick. I'm ready to go,
all
Steve.
Right, we're ready for the pick. Just want to say, you know, as a Raku from Boston College, Bill O'Brien, his coach up there, very tight with Jason Light. Very, very tight. O'Brien was a guy who very heavily endorsed Donovan Smith from his Penn State days. And Light took him, and that worked out quite well. So let me just say that. All right.
Oh, yeah. I'm not saying the Bucs aren't drafting.
You've got him shook about Donovan Smith.
What I'm saying about is Vegas has him 59% drafting him. So they obviously probably
know the same information. Yeah.
My thinking is that you have four guys playing outside linebacker right now. Where does he get snaps as a rookie?
Is that Bruce Arians putting that money down, moving the line, Ira? What is that? All right, with the number 19 overall pick in the 2025 NFL draft, the Buccaneers select
Walter Nolan, defensive lineman, Mississippi.
Now, there it is.
You made
there
Lee
it
happy
is.
Here's
there.
My thought process.
Lee's ecstatic.
A
beers
pass
for everybody.
Rushing defensive tackle that you can play all across the line. It fits Jason Light's mold from when Vita Vea was drafted to Kancey, and now he's going to shock the world, and he's going to go after Walter Nolan, who I think is a tremendous, tremendous talent at defensive tackle. Probably, I don't know what he is off the field. We didn't get to meet him at the combine, so I don't know how the interviews went, you know, if he's for Jason. But Kenneth Grant was the other guy that we talked about out of Michigan. He's a run-stopping, 345-pound defensive tackle. He's still on the board. But I like the pass rushing. If you can go with, let's just say you go for a rookie rotation, Walter Nolan can come in and just steal 30 snaps from that defensive line. When Todd Bowles did his breakdown on defense, did he see the fact that you've even texted me, why is Vita Vea not in the game on goal line situations?
Yes.
Why was Vita Vea not in the game on the last drive of the Washington Redskins in the playoff game that we lost on the last
season
drive?
On the line. Season on the line.
Because he's limited on snaps, right? He's effective in small doses.
Yes.
He obviously I shouldn't say small doses. I should say average doses. It's not small doses. He's a very, very good player. You add Walter Nolan next to Kancey, next to Vita Vea, who's, by the way, 31 years old when the season starts.
Right.
Right? So
no, he's 30.
I thought he was 31 going into this season.
No.
Vea's, no, 30 Vea's this 30. Season, 30, 31 going into next season.
Yes. Yes.
Right.
Next season contract year.
2026.
And it's a contract year. And we know what we talk about defensive linemen at 31 when they get into their 30s. This is a replacement for that. But just think about the rotation.
I got you.
And who, by the way, just won the Super Bowl with a defensive tackle rotation? The Philadelphia Eagles. They gave us the blueprint.
And
they
Howie said, Roseman is very close to Jason Light. Yeah. Very close.
They showed us the blueprint. Was this the mystery that Todd Bowles is talking about? I watched my defense. What's the mystery? Your defensive line, right, can get better. And I think, by the way, Walter Nolan gets snaps right away.
What's he got? What's he got, right, Sean? What's this guy bring?
As far
violence.
As
no, what's he bring?
He's an amazing tackler. Violence, has punch off the ball.
Strong.
First step is super strong. He has tackles for loss. He's going to play in the backfield. I think if you put Walter Nolan next to Kancey, which, by the way, you got me so excited when you said he's talking about leading the lead in sacks. Walter Nolan is a guy that can get to double digit sacks as well on that line. If you put in Vea, Kancey, and Walter Nolan, that is a sum. And you put Hassan Reddick and Yaya on the outside. I mean, you're talking about revolutionizing our defense.
So Gaines drops to number 4. Fine, let him drop to number 4.
Well, he's a depth guy.
Yeah. Or nobody's talking about Logan Hall anymore.
No, Logan Hall's still in their rotation. What I'm saying
I know, I know. I'm kidding.
Right, but he's also in a contract year. Do you? But are we replacing Vita Vea? Are we saying we're probably not going to – we're going to have another year with Vea? Or
I don't know.
You have now options.
Exactly.
Because you have another pass rushing guy. This fits the Vea Cansey mold.
Ira, do you like this?
Well, I was trying to – you know, I was listening to Sean. Why him over Grant? And Sean makes a good case. Sean wants to put the quarterback on his ass.
100%.
That's the number one thing.
I want a closer. I want to close games. I want a closer. They signed Hassan Reddick to be our closer. Lee, you're higher on him than Steve has been on him because he wants to see him bounce back from last season.
All right, let's hear from Ira.
This guy has much more pass rush skills than Grant. He does. Grant's a run stuffer. Now, not like the Bucs' run defense was that great last year. It wasn't. It took a little bit of a step back, but I'm with Sean on this. I want the guy that can knife through and get plays in the backfield and put the quarterback down.
Two things Greg Cosell said about this Walter Nolan. First, he said, country strong.
I like that.
Second one, he said, Jalen Carter.
Wow.
He said he reminds him of Jalen Carter coming
out
of Georgia.
And it gives the Bucs some flexibility in terms of whether they want to give Vea a contract extension after this season.
Yes, sir.
That's a factor. That's a factor.
All right. For me, it also gives them, they love to play some games with Cansey on the edge. So maybe this gives you
good point,
five snaps a game with Cansey off the edge. So I like
that
as well.
Very good point.
All right. Can we move on?
Yep.
All right. Let's put it into fifth gear here.
That's right.
On the podcast. And
number 20, baby.
Number 20. The Broncos select.
Omarion Hampton, running back, North Carolina. I think this is right now it's 78%
chance. That's a natural
show.
Yeah. All right. Ira's new buddy, Sean Payton, gets his running back. With the number 21 overall pick, the Steelers select
Shador Sanders.
Shador Sanders. So there.
How does he fit the Steelers scheme?
He fits it perfect. He's a pocket passer.
Artie Smith
throwing down
Lee's
the field.
Favorite.
Yep. Strong running game.
Now he's got Metcalf to throw to, and Pickens.
Think about that. DK Metcalf and George Pickens and
Fryermouth's not bad.
Fryermuth, yeah, he's a solid red zone.
And the Steelers will probably get a running back later as well to bolster that. All right. With the number 22 overall pick, the Chargers select. Got to be a receiver.
It is not. It is Kenneth Grant, interior defensive lineman. I think he was recruited by Harbaugh. I think that
fits Harbaugh.
He fits him to a T, and I think that Harbaugh staying with last year what he did with the offensive line. He surprised everybody with the Joe Alt pick on the offensive line. I think this year he goes, I'm going to bolster my defensive line, and the Chargers can't stop the run.
All right.
Oh, wait a minute.
Yes, Sage.
How great was Michigan's defense, Sean?
It was really good.
Well, we got to ask Lee. Lee, how great was Michigan's defense? We need an opinion.
Michigan's defense was really good. Look what they did to Alabama. This is going to get me going. This talk about Jalen Milroe as a first-round pick. I want to know how many narcotics people are taking.
I'll ask Sean Sullivan.
There's no way, Sean. Jalen Milroe, first-round pick? I hear these clowns from ESPN talking about that. Anybody watch that Outback Bowl? I know SEC people don't care about bowl games. But my God, Michigan tore these guys apart.
What do you see on tape, Sean? What do you see?
I see Anthony Richardson is what I see on tape. I see a guy that is not accurate at all at the NFL level. They compared him to Lamar Jackson coming out of Louisville. Hold on. They compared his throwing.
There's only
and his
two
accuracy.
Similarities.
Stop it.
They compared him to Lamar Jackson and the fact that Lamar Jackson's throwing ability coming out of Louisville was subpar, but his quarterback plays, game management, and his running style really made him a guy that they wanted to develop. Milroe gets this. He makes these amazing athletic plays. He can't make a routine throw. He can't hit anybody with timing. If you have a timing route out of the slot, if you have he can screen, throw the ball down the field with the best of them. Any timing throws at all. He can't.
That sounds like Anthony Richardson.
It's exactly like Anthony Richardson. I'm telling you. You can look at this guy. He looks like the part. He looks the part. Mm. When you ask him to throw a 9-yard out route, he throws it over the guy's head out of bounds.
Did USF shut him down for like three
horribly.
Quarters?
Three quarters.
Yeah.
Yeah. And by the way, the fourth quarter, he ran the ball. I mean, he didn't even throw the ball. So
with the number 23 overall pick in the 2025 NFL draft, the Packers select
Matthew Golden, wide receiver, Texas. I think everyone knows about this guy.
Yeah, we actually touched on him a little earlier.
We did. Yeah, he was brought in by the Bucs. I really think the Bucs brought him in to talk about Jahdae Barron because Matthew Golden went against him every day
in
practice.
That's right.
I think that there's going to be serious consideration if Barron's on the clock at 19 because I think he's a difference maker at corner. Again, but that all depends on what Jamal Dean does.
With the number 24 overall pick, the Buccaneers select
The Buccaneers.
Sorry, I was testing you, Ira.
Yes.
Number 24 overall pick.
The Vikings select Nick Emonawori, safety out of South Carolina.
Well said, Sean. Well said.
Thank you. Words. I'm a wordsmith. I mean, Steve knows that. He produces.
Ira's safety from Georgia still on
the
board.
So Nick, just so you know, I have to say this, scored a perfect 10 on the RAS score, which is not an opinion. That's not an opinion. That's a math equation that's put in for all of his athletic ability. He's the first player in NFL history to score 10 at the safety position.
Sean, would he be the heir apparent to Harrison Smith?
That's very good.
Yeah, not getting any younger.
They are, and they have a really open position for that right now. And not only that, the most interesting aspect of this is he can also, in the Minnesota Vikings defense, can play outside linebacker. And he can play safety. I mean, you can move this guy all around. He's big and strong.
He can blitz,
too. He can blitz, yeah.
You got him ranked ahead of Starks?
100, yes. He's my number one safety.
He's your number one
Steve
safety.
Listened to my podcast. I'm sure he heard how much I raved about this kid. He is an amazing, amazing talent.
Yeah, definitely.
He looks like a linebacker coming downhill and smashing you in the face.
Definitely fast.
I love the violence, too.
Brian Flores, kind of guy there. All right. Number 25, overall pick is the Houston Texans, who select
Tyler Booker, interior lineman at Alabama. If you watched any of the Texas games and everybody said C.J. Stroud took a step back, he didn't take a step back. His offensive line was absolute hot garbage.
Right.
It was terrible. And they've got to improve
absolutely
that.
Right.
They've got to improve that offensive line.
With the number 26 overall pick, the Rams.
Rams know how to draft, Sean.
They
know how to draft.
Jade Barron, cornerback, Texas.
All right,
there we go.
So there you go.
There we go.
Rams fans clamoring for the team to bring back Jalen Ramsey. Just throwing it out there.
They play in the Bucs this year, aren't they?
The Rams have a need at corner.
In Los
Angeles. They have a big need at corner.
With the number 27 overall pick, the Ravens select
Shamar Stewart, edge, Texas A&M.
Freak?
Athletic,
freak in nature?
Athletic freak who did not put anything on tape at Texas A&M for sacks.
Where's his production?
I think my favorite comment came from Greg Cosell. On his podcast.
You going to use the same one I'm going to use?
Oh, are you going to say it?
Well, go ahead. I'm going to hear what
the Shamar Stewart understands nothing about pass rushing. not He goes, not one thing does he understand. He said, so he's a developmental talent, kind of like Owe was out of Penn State, where he had zero sacks his senior year, and then he had 10 sacks last year for the Ravens. The Ravens love these guys with zero production, athletic freaks like Owe.
And they coach
them
up. They
add another one with Shamar Stewart, and they coach him up. To Lee's point, they make him better pass rushers. They're going to use his athletic talent. He's going to be a great fit for Baltimore.
And saying that, Jason Light could not find a trade partner for Joe Tryon Cheyenka. Presumably, he was trying to get rid of him. You know, another guy with a lot of skills and not much going on. All right. With number 28 overall pick, the Lions. Sean's second favorite team.
They also know how to draft.
Donovan. Go ahead, Steve.
Easy as a Raku.
That is right. Easy as a Raku, edge out of Boston College. So, again,
there he goes.
But the real struggle with a 14-win team last year was when Hutch went down. They lost their second pass rusher as well. I think that they're gonna add pass rush. It really hurt them in the playoffs.
With the number 29 overall pick, the Washington Commanders select.
Speaking of pass rush, one of my absolute favorite players in this draft, James Pierce Jr., edge out of Tennessee. Very underrated player. I don't know what he did off the field. I don't know if he lied on a ballot, didn't show his ID at the voting station. I don't know what he did to make everybody so mad, but this guy is an unbelievable talent. I mean, the guy can stop the run. He's in the backfield. He had the most pressures in the SEC against quarterback. Every time he rushes the quarterback, one out of three times he gets credited
he's
for a
production
pressure.
Guy. Yeah.
This high guy can guy. Play the game of football, and he's violent.
He sounds like he's absolute. The opposite of Shamar, the guy with no production.
Well, you have a combine star, and then you got a guy that does it on the field.
Right. That's right.
Right? James Pierce Jr., like I said, he must have robbed a McDonald's or something, because I don't know what he did, but this guy is an unbelievable football talent.
With the number 30 overall pick, the Buffalo Bills select
Malachi Starks, safety, Georgia. There's your guy coming off the board.
Ira's Chiefs are up next. Ira, Chiefs' number one need.
Well, Sean's got it nailed.
Position need.
Oh,
offensive
shoulder. Tackle. You got to protect. You got to protect Mahomes. Protect the corporation. Protect the brand.
With the number 31 overall pick, the Chiefs select
Josh Simmons, offensive tackle, Ohio State. He was hurt last year. Here's a guy that would have been a top 15 pick for sure at tackle.
What kind of injury?
What do you think?
Knee.
Knee.
Yep, it's fine. He's fine. He's gonna be great. His knee was cleared. here's a guy that's going to come in and help Kansas City right away. They need all the help they can get on the offensive line. Anybody didn't see?
Forget left tackle. I don't even like the right tackle.
Mahomes looked like he was running after his car that got towed in the Super Bowl. It was pretty bad.
All right. Kind of like against the Bucs.
Yes, kind
of
like
before it. We get to the Eagles, 2 points of business. Number one, thank you, Bill Curry Ford. BillCurryFord.com. Shop there right now. Don't mess around. Employee pricing through the end of the month. Get after it. You can have a new vehicle to celebrate the Bucs drafting an interior lineman, which should be, you know, go over very well across Tampa. And,
you know, Sean, some of the initiatives like coming out to your house and maybe even doing the repair out at your house, besides taking your car back if they can't do it at the drive-in, I don't think a lot of places do that.
Yeah, Sean, he loves this one.
Could you imagine if they brought a lawnmower and just did a little work, too? That would be amazing.
Sean, do a lot of places do stuff like this? I mean,
they do not.
Of course not, Ira.
They do
Bill
not.
Curry Ford, mobile service.
Ira's inviting him in for tea.
Yeah, of course. He's coming
and
out
and a cosmic donut.
Ira's and a beet salad.
If I give this guy a
coconut donut,
a cruller, he'll do a better job on my car. All right, and lastly, before we hit the last pick, I want to ask Sean about two guys. They go together, so it's really one guy, Ira. But these two guys from USF that you talked about in your podcast, the running backs.
Yes, R.J. Harvey.
If you can reset that in 30 seconds, those two guys.
Yeah.
From UCF.
Penny Boone.
I'm sorry, UCF.
It was UCF. So yeah. R.J. Harvey, I think, is just an unbelievable talent who's averaged 6 yards a carry for his college career. He has never been less than 5 yards a carry against any team that he's played in while he's been in college football. I love his size, his strength. He has a tremendous burst right through the line. This guy can take the ball to the end zone. I love his yards after contact. I think he's a cerebral player.
Now, that's the UCF top running back. He may be third round, fourth round pick. We'll see. But
I think he's underrated, Steve. I'm just going to go out. I'm just going to say it again, that this guy is a much better running back than he's getting credit for.
But, Sage, they got another guy who may become a Buccaneer. And I want another running back. Sean, touch on him a little bit.
Yeah, Penny Boone. So I'm looking at, you know how I have to study who the Bucs are actually talking to, right? Who they're bringing in for interviews, right? And I'm doing my podcast on running backs and tight ends, and I'm looking for who the Bucs. I can't find one running back. I said they had to have talked to one running back. Had to have. Just by chance. So I find this obscure thing that says the Bucs did an interview with Penny Boone out of UCF. And I'm like, that's odd because, you know, R.J. Harvey's out of UCF. And I was like, there's no other running back there. So I'm thinking to myself, I watched all this tape. I don't remember this guy. Well, he played fullback. He had 208 yards rushing and 2 touchdowns last year for UCF. And I'm like, why on earth would the Bucs be? Guy can't return kicks. Why are they talking to this
long
guy?
Long snapper?
No. So I'm looking at, so of course, I do my best in class research. So I'm spending all this time trying to find out who this guy is. And I find out that in 2023, he was MAC Offensive Player of the Year with 1,400 rushing yards and 17 touchdowns. Apparently, he had one of the best years in the history of the MAC Conference. He transferred to Louisville on an NIL deal, coming off, of course, this huge season at Toledo. He never played a down for Louisville, jumped back in the portal, and then transferred to UCF, and then played, I guess, fullback for this past season. There's got to be a story here. I don't know what the story is.
So he opened holes for Harvey as a fullback.
So, but in 2023, he was player of the year.
Right.
In college football, in the MAC conference. For offensive play.
It's a bizarre situation.
It's bizarre.
And it wasn't
but
like
somebody
it,
in the red. Bucs figured it out. They figured that maybe there's something we're missing here. Maybe there was an off-the-field problem. Maybe he had a death in the family. You know, maybe he got lied to by a coach.
Maybe he's a seventh-round pick that plays special teams. He's a big guy, 6'1", 240.
Yeah, he's 240.
Yeah.
Right. I mean,
it's like a LeGarrette Blount kind of build.
Did you say that Harvey did not average less than 5 yards in any game last season?
Ever. He averaged 6.8 yards a carry. Last year.
But in every game, he averaged at least five.
No team held him, and that's what I'm saying, under 5 yards a carry. He averaged over. So what I do is when I do the running back breakdown, I'm looking for players that average over 6 yards a carry because it really translates to the NFL when you see them. If they're at 6, 6'5", 6'8 yards a carry, you're like, okay, let me look at this guy. Unless they're small school guys, that can be a little misleading.
With a decent amount of carries, right?
Right.
Yeah.
You're talking about a guy at UCF that plays in a decent – you know, plays against some decent guys. It's not the SEC, but it's decent. I'm not saying the guy's a first-round draft pick. I'm saying that he's definitely got some juice, and he should be looked at you know, probably in the third round.
Penny Boone, I reminds you of Pat Boone, your high school days.
Can I ask Sean a question?
Yes, because we hate Eagles fans, so we're making them suffer to get the last.
Sean, a little bit of a we philosophy question, but if anybody can answer it, it's you. Why is Light so much better the last 5 years than he was his first 5 or 6 years at picking these guys? Why? What did he learn from his mistakes? Was it having somebody else around him?
I guess that's a question for him, right? I mean, as far as what does he think?
I don't want to hear it from him. I want to hear it from you.
I think for me, what I've noticed on his drafting is he's picking quality character guys. And I know every team wants to do that. He's avoiding some of the pitfalls of lack of production. You know, the Bucks I can go on and on. I'll make this short. But the Bucks forever drafted guys on potential. Charles McCray, Reagan Upshaw. McCants had an injury.
McKay
should have never
that,
been drafted.
McKay said that going into the 95 draft when they took Sapp and Brooks.
We drafted,
we're tired of these combine guys. We got to get away
from
that.
No more hope and a wish. Lee has this saying that's really funny. He's like, oh, so this is what we're wishing for this year? I don't want to wish for anything. I want guys. I think Jason Light drafts guys with college production. Oops, sorry, I was beating on the table. So Bill Parcells said that he preferred, when he drafted, to have two-year starters for obvious reasons, right? There's a lot of tape on them. You can see them in different situations. I think Jason Light has done a terrific job of getting mature men who have started many games in college and have the production where it's not, I wish this guy or I project this guy to do this. I hate that. That's the worst word that I hear at the NFL draft is when we project this guy to do 15 sacks. He didn't do it in college. What makes you think he's going to do it in the pros? That's the thing that I think overall it gets missed.
Was that Joe Tryon?
Joe Tryon did not have the production.
Yeah.
And they talked about his size and his speed, and this is what happened. He had a COVID year. It stubbed his growth, right? Because he had to take a year off from football. I think that really hurt him a lot more than people think as far as that's concerned. But my point is on him, again, it was what are we projecting him to be in the NFL? Jason Light has done a terrific job of getting away from that and really staying focused on guys that have production in college. Kancey had a tremendous amount of production in college.
He had the tackles for losses. Yeah.
Barton, last year's first-round draft pick, was a consensus. Everyone said, this guy's an amazing. He started at left tackle. He started at left guard. He started at right guard.
Yeah, can't-miss guy.
He's a can't-miss guy. I mean, we are drafting guys that are doing it in college football. And the other thing is, I don't underestimate Bruce Arians' effect on Jason Light, because I think Jason Light grew in the business, got better as a general manager with Bruce Arians as a partner as well.
That's where it changed. I got one more question
and
for
Tom
Sean.
Moore. Don't forget Tom Moore is another guy that brings a lot to the table.
One more tough question for Sean. I don't know what you're going to say about this one, Sean. I think I got you boxed in. Why don't the Bucs draft Pierce and take him and then say – Frederick doesn't work out. He moves on. We got Pierce Jr. He's going to get some snaps. You like this kid.
I love
Why
him.
Why not take him?
He's got some off-the-field stuff going on.
Major.
Pierce Jr. has off-the-field stuff?
Now, no one has said what it is.
Coaches can't stand him.
He 100% did not interview well at the Combine. I did hear the whisperings. I heard several guys, including Greg Cosell, talking about guys that didn't interview well. I don't know. They did a whole podcast on it. For whatever reason, he didn't interview well. I don't know what his past is. I did spend time with Elijah Simmons. If you remember, I was waiting at the airport, and I'm sitting waiting on my flight. Jason Light's on the flight. I don't know where he's at. I'm in line getting
hiding.
He's hiding from me, right? So he was so nice. I sat right across the aisle from him. Yeah. So I'm sitting there with Elijah Simmons. He's getting food in line with me, and I said, hey, I saw you at the combine. He turns around. We start talking. He's a defensive tackle, by the way, for Tennessee, in case you don't know. That's where Pierce plays. So what do you think my first question is?
What do you think of Pierce?
What do you think of James Pierce? And he's like, he's the best teammate. He's an unbelievable, talented player. I mean, what is he supposed to say?
Right.
But he was in a moment where there's no recording. There's
nothing. It could have been the truth.
It's just me and him talking. Yeah. And he said the guy's an absolute amazing teammate, amazing player. Said nothing but good things. Another guy, Elijah Simmons, which a 340-pound, 20-year-old kid playing defensive tackle, starter for the Tennessee Vols, is a guy maybe the Bucks bring in for depth.
You get your answer, Ira?
But you're also saying whoever drafts Pierce is getting a heck of a player.
I'm saying Hassan Reddick also had some baggage. I mean, we can talk about it. We did sign him. We also signed Antonio Brown, to Steve's point, when Steve was saying, hey, listen, we do sign productive players. that have a little bit of baggage sometimes. I mean, we do that. I don't know if that was the Tom Brady effect.
And they had Brady to keep him in line, Sean.
I don't know if that
part.
Was the Tom Brady effect or not. But
wasn't he a tenant? Brady's?
If it's me, if James Pierce is there at 19, I'm taking a chance with James Pierce Jr. I think he's an absolute game wrecker. And I think if he can keep his head on straight, he's going to be that for some NFL team.
But you don't think he will be the pick. You don't think.
You got a thought for Sean as we wrap this thing up?
You want it before the Eagles pick?
No, screw the Eagles.
We'll get to it.
Can we just leave the pick out?
No, this is Bucks, very much Bucks related. So NFL.com, Ira, has a new feature this year, a section called Draft IQ. And they have a page dedicated to just every team. And it didn't really impress me. They're pumping it up. Oh, it's next-gen stats. It's this, it's that. And all the stat geeks that work for NFL.com are all excited like mice about it. And and I'm looking it over. I'm like, just about anybody that reads JoeBucksFan.com already knows this. Nothing tripped my trigger at all about this, except there was a tab and said General Manager's Tendencies. Okay, I want to see what they got.
All right.
I click on it. Very first item, in 11 drafts, Jason Light has picked non-Power 5 players in the second round 6 times. So 50%. 2 years ago was his last non-Power 5 player. Cody Mauch tells me he's due. I screenshot this and texted this to Sean. I don't think 3 minutes passed. He replied to me. What did you reply, Sean? You blew my socks off.
Yeah, I sent you the Bowling Green tight end, Fannin Jr., right? Which the Bucks brought on a formal interview, by the way. 6'3", 245, runs like the wind, has amazing hands, had an over 90% catch percentage, red zone target. Not a super blocker, but you're talking about a guy that's an offensive weapon. And I just thought, it's so strange that the Bucks interviewed not one, not two, but three top tight ends in this NFL draft. They interviewed Tyler Warren, right? They interviewed Mason Taylor out of LSU, and they interviewed Fannin Jr. out of Bowling Green. You're talking about, that's a really odd thing,
right?
That the Bucks, who have, no one's talked about them wanting a tight end that I know of, Steve. No one has mentioned it.
Who's no one? What does that mean?
Well, I wrote a column saying it wasn't a priority.
I haven't heard the national news. I haven't heard Bowles talked about defensive tackle. Jason Light's talked about corner, defensive tackle, pass rusher. They talked about inside linebacker. I haven't heard anybody bring – and wide receiver. At one point, they brought up maybe we need to add some depth at wide receiver. I haven't heard one person say they would like a tight end, except their actions show something different. They interviewed three top tight ends in this draft.
So
formally interviewed them.
When I sent that to Sean about how Light's due to pick a small school guy, he immediately replied.
He's the only small school guy that was on the radar from the Bucks. They interviewed him at the combine, and they interviewed him in a formal interview. And I'm like, that's a little odd.
And maybe they got some intel from Bowling Green alum Scotty Miller. You never know.
Well, that's what I thought was, you know how we were talking about Matthew Golden? That might be all about Jadae Barron, right? That could be what that whole smokescreen is about. Yeah. Now, there's nobody at Bowling Green
also,
that
Will
the
Johnson,
Bucks are talking about.
You know, Barron played some top corners, too.
Right.
Could have been I'm sorry. But Golden. Golden played these top corners. Played Will Johnson. Obviously knows Barron. Played some other SEC corners.
Yeah, Zaire Thomas out of Florida State is a guy that's kind of fits what they're trying to do in the second round. I think
Carlton Davis.
I think they're going corner in the second round. My favorite corner, I think I was very clear, was Darian Porter out of Iowa State. 6'4" guy, played safety and outside corner, 4.3 speed, can catch the ball, had turnovers.
You worried about the competition this Bowling Green guy played against? Does that bother you at all? A lack of competition or level?
No, the guy dominated his level. It would bother me if someone doesn't dominate that level of competition. He dominated the level of competition. When I say dominated, he was the best player on the field on every game you watch with him. He's the best player on the field.
Ira, here's in the last, this decade, here are the big school guys that Jason Light drafted in the second round. Antoine Winfield, Kyle Trask, Chris Braswell. He better stick with the small school guys. So,
all right. Got to wrap it up by saying I've been looking forward to this day for weeks, and Sean didn't disappoint me. He didn't let me down. His knowledge is unbelievable. I pinned him on the Pierce guy. I got some extra stuff out of him.
Are you grading this mock draft? We're going to give it a B.
And he agrees with me that the top 15, 20 picks, it's not an exceptional draft. It's not.
No.
It's a depth draft.
All right, Lee, you have a final thought for this experience here?
Well, first off, I'm going to say, at risk of pissing off Sean, that in a couple of days we won't have to worry about these schlock drafts. Sean is not included in this. We don't have to worry about these schlock drafts from guys who don't give a damn about accuracy and being assaulted with them everywhere we turn when we go to a sports site. That's number one. Number two, now we got to wait 51 weeks for Sean's next.
I got one more question. I never run out of questions, Steve. Sean, what would you consider a successful mock draft for you in terms of how many players match up with the team that you have them associated with?
Oh, that's a great question.
Seven?
That's a great – seven puts me in the top echelon of conversation.
Nice, nice.
Right? So anything seven or better
– that's what you had last year, right?
My best I've ever done is 11.
11 out of 32?
Yeah, and I've crushed, just so you know, the David Jeremiahs and the Mel Kuypers. I crush their drafts every year, right? Because those guys are clickbait guys. And
thank
you guys
you.
Explain to me as journalists, I'm not a journalist, right? Even though the Joe Bucks fan guys remind me every day that I'm a car guy and I should give up my
no.
podcast, right? But the one thing that guys don't understand is how much research, only you guys know what I do. And the fact that I spent almost $10,000 going to Annapolis on myself to do my own research. I stayed in an amazing suite, by the way. So
next to Pete Carroll.
Yeah. So, and I don't do anything half.
I was in Motel 6
I invested
last year.
That into my – that's something I really wanted to do. I was really gracious. I really thank you guys for letting me go on Radio Row. But I put the work in. This year I got to interview the players, which was really fun for me. But, you know, so for those guys who think that I don't put the work in, that I just do this to promote Bill Curry Ford, which I do. I'm not going to say I don't. I sell a lot of cars from the podcast. I sell a lot of Joe Bucks fan listeners for sure. But if you don't think that I have the passion for this, please come up. And give me 5 minutes. And if you don't leave here in 5 minutes,
they just gave you an hour and 45 minutes.
I know more than a lot of these pundit guys. And you're going to see that. But the clickbait thing I don't like. These mock drafts that you don't like, you have to understand. I learn mock drafts because I learn the players. I love mock drafts, seven-round mock drafts. Why are we talking about seven rounds?
That didn't bother me.
It's not the accuracy that's important. It's the fact that you learn the players from mock drafts.
Yeah, I could do that with position rankings, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Seven's a magic number, Steve.
But Mel Kiper is famous for saying, click here because I'm going to put this player that doesn't belong here, and I'm going to make a bunch of people mad, so you can go and do that, right? I don't like that kind of stuff.
With the number 32 overall pick, the Eagles select.
You only need one mock draft.
That's true.
The Eagles select.
Jahad Campbell, linebacker, Alabama, because they are a team coming off the Super Bowl.
They can be patient with
it. They can be patient and afford to add a talent like this. And by the way, they have a history of doing this, of letting these talented guys.
Jalen Carter, right?
Davis Carter.
Yes, Davis.
The linebacker out of Georgia 2 years ago.
Nolan Smith. Nolan Smith did nothing as a rookie.
Yeah. So what they do is they wait on these guys to fall, first-round talents, and they scoop them up at the end of the first round.
That's what the Patriots used to do years ago.
That is 100% right.
All right. It's in the books. The unbelievable mammoth.
Yeah. Danny's Deli, by the way, which is an amazing deli in Brandon. You would love this place. Huge Eagles fan. Listens to my podcast and says, can you please talk more about the Eagles? Knowing how much I hate the Eagles, he still asks me, because he makes, by the way, an amazing pastrami sandwich.
Next time I see unbelievable you, bring pastrami. A pastrami sandwich.
It's fantastic.
With a pickle.
I will, and a coconut donut for you.
Tell him what sponsoring your podcast can do for the Eagles talk.
Jahad Campbell for you, Danny. There you go.
And there you go.
All right, Danny, thanks for hanging in there, and you're still an Eagles fan. All right, Sage, we'll see you at one of these draft events at $1, and we'll be back later in the week.